Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a body has been recovered from the water at Ballyhwariskey in Fanad Garthy. Say foul play is not suspected. A Donegal TD is urging the government and HSE to end what he termed the funding discrimination against Letterkenny University Hospital. Musicians say it's a relief to be able to perform again at weddings and other venues. It comes as live music returns to bars and the phased reopening of the country continues from today. The Department of Foreign Affairs publishes all its documentation, including text messages on the now scrapped appointment of Catherine Zappone as a UN Special Envoy, and climate change is having an effect. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin this evening with confirmation that a body has been recovered from the water at Ballyhwariskey in Fanad. Garthy have confirmed the body was found earlier today and brought to Letterkenny University Hospital, where a post-mortem examination will take place at a later date. Garthy inquiries are continuing, but they say foul play is not suspected at this time. And Garthy say while they're still investigating all the circumstances, foul play isn't suspected following the discovery of a man's body in Letterkenny yesterday morning. The man, believed to be in his 60s, was found by the ambulance service at a house in the Sylvan Park area. And a man in his 30s who died after falling from a cliff in Bundoran at the weekend has been named locally as Stuart Hamilton, originally from Armagh. He fell from a cliff in the Tullan Strand area early on Saturday morning. He was brought to Sligo University Hospital but was later pronounced dead. Garthy have confirmed they're treating the death as a tragic accident. A Donegal TD is urging the government and the HSE to end what he termed the funding discrimination against Letterkenny University Hospital. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin was speaking after publishing data that he's received following a range of parliamentary questions to the Health Minister in recent weeks. He says that data clearly proves that Letterkenny's staffing and funding is much less than it should be, given the numbers being treated at the hospital.
Letterkenny University Hospital had the sixth highest number of inpatients in the state just before the pandemic, at over 24,000. But despite this, when it comes to the league table for budget allocation, we came 13th. For the numbers of consultants, we come 14th. And for the numbers of nurses and doctors, we come 12th. So it's quite clear that the amount of money, the amount of doctors and nurses is nowhere near enough.
Sláintecare Care is being heralded as the answer to all these issues. And indeed, there appears to be a move in strategic thinking towards a more regional administration of health. Do you believe either or both of those will go some way towards getting Letterkenny University Hospital the focus and the funding that it needs?
I would hope so. I mean, we need to see like a national health service here in Ireland, and we need to see equality in service and healthcare delivered across the state. I mean, it shouldn't be the case that because you live in Donegal or other rural counties that you do not get the same level of healthcare as people who live in the cities. It just is not acceptable. It is blatant discrimination. And as I say, the evidence that I have published today cannot be refuted. The government need to act on it and they need to tell the people of Donegal what they're going to do about it.
And that was Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. You can see those figures in full on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, 27 people were awaiting beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, down slightly on Friday's figure of 29. Six were awaiting beds on trolleys in the emergency department. The rate of COVID-19 in Monaghan is over three times the national average. Latest Health Protection Surveillance Centre figures covering the 14 days up to midnight on Thursday last show Monaghan's 14-day incidence rate was just under 1,500 cases per 100,000 people. Donegal, Cavan and Leitrim were the next worst affected counties, with an incidence rate in Donegal of just over 1,185. The national rate was 492, down from 531 over the course of the week. There were 1,764 positive COVID cases recorded in Northern Ireland this evening, 9 additional COVID-related deaths there, 407 patients being treated for the disease north of the border, 46 of them in ICU. Europe's health regulator is evaluating an application for the use of a booster dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. It would involve administering a dose of the vaccine 6 months after the second dose in people aged 16 and over. A European Medicines Agency committee will carry out an accelerated assessment of data submitted by the company, and the outcome is expected in the coming weeks. Musicians say it's a relief to be able to perform again at weddings and other venues. Live music returns to bars and weddings from today as the phased reopening of the country continues. There are also more people allowed into religious celebrations and churches. With more detail, here's Stephanie Rowan.
It's been over 18 months since people have been allowed to dance and enjoy music at a wedding, but be prepared to see men with ties on their heads again as live music returns. Also from today, all religious ceremonies, including confirmations and communion, can go ahead at half capacity. Organised indoor events are allowed to have 60% attendance, which includes conferences, bingo halls, cinemas and theatres. But capacity at gatherings can change if unvaccinated people are attending. More restrictions will ease later this month when workers return to the office, while the majority of measures are set to ease on October the 22nd.
The Department of Foreign Affairs has published all its documentation, including text messages, on the now-scrapped appointment of Catherine Zapone as UN Special Envoy. They show Minister Simon Coveney offered Catherine Zapone the UN role 4 months before it was agreed by Cabinet. On Thursday, March 4th, Catherine Zapone texted Simon Coveney thanking him for the incredible opportunity, saying she will be so proud to serve Ireland again. Minister Coveney says he's sorry the process has caused such controversy for the government. Earlier, Taoiseach Micheál Martin said open competitions must be carried out in future before any government-appointed roles are filled. He said he hopes the documents published today will provide clarity on what happened.
So I think that's important. I think it's important that we have transparency in relation to this issue. And I also think it's important that, look, we as in government learn lessons from this also. I think there needs to be a full review of the role of envoys into the future.
The number of heat-related deaths among people over the age of 65 has increased by 50% in the past 20 years. That's just one finding listed in an article published in over 200 medical journals today. It says growing temperatures and the continued loss of biodiversity will have a disproportionate health impact on children, older people and poorer communities. Co-author Dr. Fiona Godley says the health impact of climate change is already evident.
What we're seeing, apart from the risk to life of fires and floods and extreme heat, we're seeing increased rates of heart and lung disease, cancer, obesity, dementia, damage to mental health, damage in pregnancy and damage to the development of young children. These are all things that are happening now in the West, in Europe.
Social enterprises in Donegal are to benefit from almost 50,000 euro in additional government funding following an announcement by Minister Heather Humphreys. Just over 46,000 will go to local authorities in the county to distribute to social enterprise groups with the goal of facilitating the purchase of equipment or repairs and refurbishment to allow social enterprise improve their service. The chair of the Friends of Livert Hospital says the findings of a recent damning HICWA report regarding Livert Community Hospital did not surprise him. The hospital has been closed for renovations since July when the inspection took place. On today's 9 till noon show, John Quinn said there are questions being raised about where the charitable funding raised for the hospital over the past number of years has gone, and he says people need to be held to account.
There's one thing that we will be having on our meeting, a scheduled meeting, or not a scheduled, that we're calling a meeting for Tuesday night, because it says in the report that their CCTV system was not working. Now, Friends of Livert Hospital through the communities all around gathered money and gave over 100,000 to the hospital, and one of it was to install a CCTV system. Mm. That's been coming out and reported. It wasn't there or it wasn't working. We're wondering, you know, where did the funding go for that? Mm. You know, or I know by phoning around over the weekend, and one of our vice chairs actually down in Kerry, in a wrong Hammond, I had apologised for ringing them yesterday, and they were looking at it and they read the report. We're all totally disgusted, but not unsurprised, because it's what's in the report. The majority of it stuff in the report we have highlighted over and over again, and to be honest, I and the two other delegates that were with me up in Dalhern, we were ridiculed by the HSE for even daring to suggest that the hospital was in such a bad state.
Family, friends and politicians have said their final goodbyes to Pat Hume, whose funeral took place today in her hometown of Derry. She was known for her contribution to the peace process in Northern Ireland, along with her late husband John. At this morning's funeral in St Eugene's Cathedral, her grandchildren spoke about her nature.
Granny was the glue of our family, and we all knew how loved we were.
Granny touched the lives of everybody she met with her gentle smile and twinkling eyes.
Granny loved nothing more than a walk along the Foyle in Derry and Donegal. She valued the healing power of nature.
The issue of illegal slurry dumping has been raised following an incident in Inishowen at the weekend. Local councillor Terry Crossan says he was contacted by people after what appeared to be slurry was dumped into Inch Lake at Farland Bank. He posted videos he received to social media in order to raise awareness of the impact slurry dumping can have on the local environment. He says it's a serious situation.
I got a call on Friday afternoon from a man who was out walking at Inch Lake, and he was walking across what's known as the Farland Bank. The first thing that attracted his attention was a strong smell of slurry. So on closer examination, he discovered that a large amount of slurry had been discharged on the swally side of the Farland Bank causeway and was clearly visible both on the water and on the rocks.
Yeah.
So I asked him if he could send in the images, which he sent me a number of videos, which clearly indicated that there was some sort of material in the water. There was discoloration of the water, and there was some materials that were floating on the water.
Do you think this person was discarding slurry, or and I wonder, is it a, and this doesn't make it right, by the way, but I think I've seen this happening myself, is it a relatively common practice for these tanks to be washed out, you know, in lakes and streams and rivers?
Well,
as I say, that doesn't make it right, by the way, but I'm just wondering how common a practice may be the washing out of these tanks is using these types of water supplies.
As far as I know, that sort of behaviour would be highly illegal and shouldn't happen. I don't know exactly how this situation came about. I don't know if you have seen the videos that I posted on social
media. I didn't, Terry, to be completely honest with you.
But they are quite explicit and show clearly that there is something not right here.
Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Go the distance with a great range of running shoes, sports gear and accessories at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with golf, and a massive evening could be ahead for Irish golf, with Europe just 5 points away from retaining the Solheim Cup. They lead the USA 9-7, with the single matches in Ohio have just got underway. Cavan's Lona Maguire remains unbeaten in what is her first appearance in the competition. She takes on Jennifer Kupchu in their third match, It's out on the course and it gets underway in just under 10 minutes time at 5:25 Irish time. Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny has had out of critics that have said his job is on the line if Serbia win in Dublin tomorrow. Kenny's team have picked up just 1 point in Group B of the World Cup qualifiers. They welcome a Serbian team that took all 3 points in the Belgrade meeting between the two sides last March. Kenny insisted today that he's building a squad for Euro 2024 and that he has the backing of the team.
I think there's real progress overall, to be honest. And that's the way I see it. And that's why my staff see it and all the coaches see it. And there's a lot of people behind that. There's a lot of people who aren't, who just see, well, you're in a resilience, but that's not your job to develop the game here. That's not your job. Your job is just to get... win the next match, that's your job. And you know, that kind of nearsightedness doesn't create anything. Doesn't create anything. You might beat teams you shouldn't beat, but you'll never beat the teams that, you know, you can strive to beat.
Well, Republic of Ireland winger James McLean has branded criticism off the national side as fickle. The Derry native started the 1-1 draw with Azerbaijan last Saturday. That draw means Kenny is still looking for his first competitive win since becoming senior manager in April of last year. McLean says the current negative narrative is unhelpful, particularly for younger players.
They just rally around them and just tell them to pay no attention, because, funny enough, they the media in Ireland is just as bad, if not worse, than the media in England. To kind of get a kick out of us not doing well, you know, it's a shame, really, but a senior player has been around a long time, we know how it works, and the young players, it's new to them, so we just have to just tell them, you know what, it's part and parcel of football, like pay no attention.
In Gaelic Games, it's another packed DL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney this evening here on Highland. This week, he'll be joined by joint Tyrone boss Fergal Logan on their epic All-Ireland run and their final showdown with Mayo coming up this weekend. Brendan also speaks with Donegal football boss Declan Boner on his reappointment. Chairman Mick McGrath gives an update on all GA matters in the county, while Gary McDead, the former Glenswally manager, with the winning touch, gives us his take on the upcoming Donegal Championships, which of course start this weekend as well. Just staying with Gaelic Games, Jack O'Connor has stepped down as manager of the Kildare senior footballers. The Kerry native cited the travel commitments involved as part of the reason for his decision. O'Connor spent 2 years in charge, guiding the Lilywhites back to Division 1 of the Alliance Football League. He also oversaw their run to this year's Leinster final, where Kildare suffered defeat to Dublin. F1 driver Valtteri Bottas will race for Alfa Romeo from next season. The 9-time Grand Prix winner is currently Lewis Hamilton's teammate at Mercedes. Bottas, who sits third in the current driver standings, has signed a multi-year deal with the Swiss constructor, and it now opens the path for George Russell to join Mercedes next season. In horse racing, rising star off the saddle, Donegal apprentice Dylan Brown McMonagall rode his first Group winner when the Joseph O'Brien trained Baron Samedi landed the Group 3 Vintage Crop Stakes at Navan back in April. Baron Samedi's next outing is likely to be the Group 1 Comer Group International Irish St. Ledger at the Curragh next Sunday on day 2 of the Irish Champions Weekend. And Dylan says he is a progressive horse who provided him with an unforgettable experience last time out.
That was unbelievable. I was claiming 5 at the time. It's not a thing looking when you're a claimer thinking about riding group winners, and Joseph has so many horses in there, and as you say, he's loads of riders there, but he gives us all equal chances, and usually when we win in a horse he sticks to us, and I won in Baron Sabri a couple of times last year, and I kept the ride on him and kept progressing, and he's an improving horse, and who knows where he could stop, but I'm just delighted to be getting the leg up in those kind of horses, and massive thanks to him. Sky's the limit for him. Every time we ran him he's only been getting better, so I think he's going for the Ledger now, which is a Group 1, so it's another big step up, but it'll be a tough race, but I'm sure he's improving, he earns his place.
Don't be surprised if Dylan Brown McMonagall picks up a winner or two next weekend at the Irish Championship weekend at Leopardstown and the Curragh. It's held over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. There's more from Dylan in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Finally, in tennis, fourth seed Alexander Zverev is about to take on Italian Jannik Sinner in round 4 of the US Open. Also this evening, sixth seed Matteo Berrettini faces Oscar Aut as they look to make the quarterfinals. And in the women's draw, seventh seed Iga Swiatek is up against Belinda Bencic of Switzerland, and they're playing the first set of their last 16 encounter at the moment. That's your sport for the moment here in Highland. Don't forget the DL debate after the news at 7 o'clock with Brendan Devaney.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Letterkenny Institute of Technology is to receive just over €1.3 million in funding from the government in order to carry out a number of capital works as third level institutions begin to return to full in-person classes. LYIT President Paul Hannigan told Highland Radio News today that part of the money will go toward providing additional ICT equipment such as laptops for disadvantaged students, as well as expanding facilities to reflect an increased number of places for new students.
Last year we had a great uptake for our laptop loan scheme, which again was funded by government, which was really useful for students who hadn't got the facilities that they required for the online learning. We're moving towards a situation where we will have all students back on campus for this academic year, so hopefully we're in a position to provide the best service we can to them in those circumstances with the various restrictions that are in place.
And indeed it was mentioned as part of the government's announcement of this funding that at least in some ITs and universities there would be funding for investment in infrastructure to allow for additional places for 2021 Leaving Cert students. Is that the case in LYIT? Will there be additional places for those students seeing as the results were so high?
Yeah, we applied for additional places in a number of our programs both last year and this year, and we have got granted some additional places in some high demand programs. So we'll be putting those in place, and we are putting in place improvements in our facilities right across both campuses in Letterkenny and in Killybegs.
Well, the importance of the CoLab Centre at Letterkenny Institute of Technology is being highlighted as the college prepares for the new academic year. CoLab has grown to be the largest business centre of its kind in the Irish third level sector. With more detail, here's Daniel Brennan.
The CoLab project began in the early 80s as a small incubation centre. It's now the largest business centre in the third level sector in Ireland, providing 35 business suites to 60 companies, who in turn employ over 220 people. CoLab manager Patsy Donaghy says they are targeting support to three distinct groups: startups who need help with early stage ideas, members of the diaspora who wish to develop in the region, and remote workers. The centre concentrates on supporting technology and expert-focused companies, with sectors represented including cloud computing, software development, e-commerce, education, film and video, energy, finance, fire safety and manufacturing. Two of the companies, Druva and Envolve, are expanding, with each seeking in the region of 20 new employees. Patsy Donaghy says the available supports and the quality of life in the region mean Donegal is now recognised as a hub for tech, R&D and innovation.
And there's more on that and the rest of today's stories on our website, highlandradio.com. Anyone who keeps a horse or other equine animal will be required to complete a census form later this year. Minister Charlie McConnell confirmed earlier today the Department of Agriculture will undertake its first annual equine census at the end of November. It's being carried out in compliance with EU animal health laws. The department says the census will help particularly when dealing with lost, straying or stolen horses. The Eurodesk project, which provides information to young people, is seeking to expand its service with more ambassadors being sought. The initiative is managed locally through the Donegal Youth Service, and on today's 9 till noon show, Youth Information Officer Katazina Koshiza outlined what's involved.
The Eurodesk Ambassadors panel is quite a unique project managed by Eurodesk Ireland and Largas. And it's created for young people aged 18 to 30 years old who are interested in European stuff or who took part in one of the European mobility opportunities, such as traveling or studying abroad or taking part in European Solidarity Corps. So basically, this is the project that we created to give the young people chance to have their voice heard about the important topics. I think it's very crucial at the moment after the pandemic, when we're all struggling with restrictions and what we can do and what we can't do, to provide the reliable information to young people about what is available to them. So that's why the group is for. So obviously we're open to everyone to join the panel, but we're putting like a lot of attention on people who are very good communicator, who are enthusiastic about, you know, talking about stuff, who are not afraid to talk with other people, who are good team players, and most importantly, who are interested in the European Union matters.
And the closing date for expressing an interest in that is the 12th of September. More details on our website, and you can hear that full conversation indeed on highlandradio.com. Looking at the weather forecast now, and Met Aaron tell us it will stay mostly cloudy this evening with any lingering drizzle dying out early tonight. It'll leave a dry night with clear spells, but become misty and foggy in some areas. Tonight will be mild and humid. Temperatures won't fall below 14 to 16 degrees Celsius in a light southerly or variable breeze. Well, tomorrow any mist or fog will clear in the morning. That'll leave a dry and warm day with long spells of sunshine. High temperatures tomorrow 22 to 24 degrees Celsius in a light east to south east breeze. Looking at the headlines, a body's been recovered from the water at Ballyhoursky in Fannad. Gardaí have confirmed foul play is not suspected. A post-mortem examination will take place later. Donegal TD Padraig McLaughlin is urging the government and the HSC to end what he termed the funding discrimination against Letterkenny University Hospital. He says data he's collected shows that in 2019, Letterkenny's staffing and funding was much less than it should have been, given the numbers being treated at the hospital. There were 27 people waiting beds at the hospital this morning, six of them on trolleys in the emergency department. Donegal's COVID-19 rate remains the second highest in the country, and Europe's health regulator is evaluating an application from Pfizer for the use of booster doses. We're back with news again at six. Good evening. The opportunities for this Monday, the 6th of September. The death has occurred of John Baird, 2 Listymore Park, Castle Derg. Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Francis of Assisi Church, Drumna Bay. Interment afterwards in St Patrick's Churchyard, Castle Derg. Due to government restrictions, the house is strictly private. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam.